And good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Tuesday program of the morning show here at KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. The morning show this morning is myself, Julie Calamine, and I'm joined by my co-host, Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Julie. And today we're going to talk about snow and more specifically avalanches with Jeff Thompson from the Panhandle Avalanche Center. But first, I think we want to talk about snow a little bit more.
Well, yes, we are. Let's talk about the weather, and then we'll introduce Jeff and talk about avalanches. It's a perfect day for it. Well, today, weather is going to be high of 32 with mixed precipitation. There is a winter storm warning going, and that's going to be through tonight at 10 p.m. We've got 80 to 50% chance of snow. Today, snow before 10, then a chance of rain, unfortunately. We're going to have some high winds, and they're going to be increasing to 12 to 17 miles per hour. Pretty windy. High today of, as I mentioned, 32. But then tonight we're going to have a 20% chance of snow. More snow, of course, mostly cloudy. And then tomorrow, Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high of 34. So snowy and windy today. It looks like it's getting better.
Well, better or right above and below that freezing mark makes things really slick and slippery. I know for the drive-in it was that way. And
very much so. And Thursday, a bit more of the same, 50% chance of rain and snow and temperatures at that freezing point, high of 33. So,
yeah, I don't know. How was your commute in, Julie?
Kind of iffy. How about for you, Phil?
Well, like I said, slipping and sliding a little bit. Fortunately, I've got the Subaru with the studded tires, so not me so much, but watching others do that. And so caution to everybody, be careful. In fact, if you don't have to go anywhere today, today's a good day to stay at home. Relax until the snow stops, and then go clear your driveway really well.
I was planning on going skiing today, but I might cancel with that forecast, even though it's snowing.
We're going to hear more about how those marginal freezing, thawing conditions impact the safety factor, both in the backcountry, up on the ski hill, and even for your favorite area that might not seem to be at risk. So we're going to turn to Jeff Thompson, the new executive director of the Panhandle Avalanche Center. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, thanks for coming in. I know this is probably a very busy morning for you.
We picked quite a morning to do the interview. Been up early all morning. We issued an avalanche warning this morning. We got a significant amount of snow on a fairly tender snowpack out there, and conditions are rapidly changing.
So we're going to get to more about the forecasting and the warnings that you provide, the services, but tell us a little bit of background on the Panhandle Avalanche Center.
Sure. The Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center started in the early 90s, and it was pretty much a grassroots effort. I think it really started with a voice recording out of Coeur d'Alene that you could call in and kind of get some basic information about what's going on in the backcountry. And over the last, 20, 30 years, it's grown into who we are today. And so we're putting out a forecast once a week now, primarily for backcountry users, to give them information to keep themselves safe out there.
Now, do you monitor only the backcountry, or is this information useful also for people going up to Schweitzer or Lookout or other places?
You know, the ski areas task themselves to take care of the avalanche hazard at the ski areas. They've got some means that we don't have, including explosives and ski cutting. And so, Tom Eddy here at Schweitzer and the crew up there, they've been up there since bright and early this morning before the sun came up, and they've been taking care of that avalanche problem. We do work with those guys closely and talk together. I've talked to Tom a bunch this morning already about what we're seeing out there. But it would apply to the folks that decide to go outside of the ski area, leave the ski area, and ski in the backcountry.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit more for people who are new to the area. When we use a term like the backcountry, describe that a little bit.
So the backcountry is any of our public lands, state lands that are out there that we love to go play in, which include the Cabinet Mountains, the Selkirk Mountains, even areas that would be adjacent to the ski area. So you could take the lifts potentially up to the top of the ski areas and then leave the ski area, and you're going to be in a completely different snowpack.
And your geography extends through the panhandle of Idaho, so you're concerned with the two mountain ranges you just mentioned, as well as some a little bit south of here.
Correct. Our forecast area is the panhandle, so a little bit south of Coeur d'Alene, the St. Joe Basin, and then the Cabinet Mountains, Purcell Mountains, and the Selkirk Mountains are, primarily our forecast area.
And you work closely with avalanche forecasting centers, not the Panhandle Avalanche Forecasting Center, but other avalanche forecasting centers in Washington and Montana?
We do. You know, we have, there's 13 avalanche centers that are sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, the closest being over in the Flathead to us. So yeah, you know, there's a big, big area between us and them. So it's a huge forecast area, but we stay in touch quite a bit to see what they're issuing. You know, here in Idaho, we have three avalanche centers, the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center, and then the Sawtooth Avalanche Center, and then the Payette.
And it's interesting, and it's a big area you cover, and I imagine it's an interesting history. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how it all got started? How long has this been happening, you guys watching the avalanches, monitoring?
So like I was saying, back in the 90s, they realized that there are a lot of people that were heading into the woods and they needed some information. So I think it really started with a couple Forest Service rangers in the winter, maybe having some free time and heading out into the woods and digging into the snow pit or into the snowpack and looking at what they're seeing, you know, what sort of new snow, old snow, and how are they reacting together? And then, you know, now we have all this technology that we can get our message out on. But back then it was basically just a voice recording that you called into and they said, hey, here's the concern when you're out there snowmobiling or skiing or snowboarding. And so, you know, from there, it kind of moved up here to Sandpoint, you know, which is a little bit closer to where the action's happening. And Kevin Davis, who I work with very closely, he's been involved for a number of years. He started, I believe, in 93, 95, somewhere right in that region, knows the area like the back of his hand. Very good resource for this area, has his finger on the pulse as far as the snowpack goes here. So he's been extremely helpful to me learning the ropes here and how we operate in this snowpack in the Panhandle.
And Kevin's run the Avalanche Center for a few years. So why don't you talk a little bit about how, as it's evolving, his role's evolving and yours is almost new.
Yes, correct. So, you know, like Julia's saying, that it's been growing ever since the early 90s. And so Kevin's kind of spearheaded a lot of those efforts. We started a 501c3 nonprofit, Friends of the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center, about 5 years ago. Kevin had a big role in that. The center has gotten to a point where it was just, it was time to hire a full-time director. And so even though Kevin is still heavily involved, he's the district hydrologist here for the Forest Service. He didn't have enough time to really put forth what needed to happen. So this year has been kind of a transition year. I'm learning a lot from him, but I'm, you know, able to spend a little more time doing the stuff that's required at this point with the center.
So 20 years ago, you put out a voice recording and people called in, and you probably had a way to monitor how many people called. But how do you put the word out now?
Now we have lots of avenues. Our primary avenue is our website, idahopanhandleavalanche.org. And that's where we're going to put an avalanche advisory out every Friday at 7 a.m. So every Friday, 7 a.m., We're gonna put an advisory out. So typically on a Thursday, we go out into the backcountry, whether it's the Cabinets or the Selkirks. We try to go to different places depending on what's happening, and we dig in the snow and we spend all day looking at the snow, the crystals, the weather, what's moving, what's not, and then we take all that information and then we look at weather from NOAA, from different snowtell sites around the area, and we put that forecast out on Friday.
And then you issue alerts as needed, like today.
Correct. Today, we saw a significant amount of snow fall on top of a tender snowpack. So we actually issued an avalanche warning. And that's in existence for 24 hours. And it's really, I mean, what it says is that, you know, avalanches are likely in the backcountry. And that human-triggered avalanches, you can pretty much count if you're going to get into avalanche terrain that it's going to slide on a day like today.
So what does a tender snowpack mean?
Tender snowpack means that, you know, if you think back about 2 weeks ago, we kind of went through a cold spell for about a week, you know, and that cold really kind of what we call rots the snowpack. You know, it kind of creates these layers near the bottom that are very unstable. And we weren't too concerned about it at the time because there really wasn't much weight on top of it. But we just got that weight over the last couple of days and put it on top. So all of a sudden we have this slab of snow and a lot of wind loading slopes on top of a tender snowpack. So our concerns have gone up quite a bit in the last 48 hours.
And so you've just described what is, for many folks who've been here for a while, a typical winter scenario. we get snow and then we get a Pacific Maritime system coming in. It's a little bit warmer. And so the snow it's going to bring down is going to be different than the one there.
Correct.
Creating the conditions that are ripe for an avalanche.
Correct. And so the snow that was out there before this current snow, it's been there. It's been kind of sintering with itself and learning to like the different layers on top and below. But when you introduce a whole bunch of new snow to it, it just takes a little bit of time for that pack to absorb the new snow and kind of become friends. You know, it's a shock to the system in a way.
So probably even yesterday when the forecasting for this storm came in, a lot of folks that work with you that are interested in forecasting avalanches or just backcountry safety in general are probably looking at that going, this could produce something like that. So you know you're going to be up and at work early.
Correct. Yeah, and we've been saying for the last couple of weeks that, you know, we do have these complaints in the snowpack, but they're not really a big deal right now. But be ready for a big load on top of it because it's coming. And when it does, things are going to change rapidly. And so we kind of prepared ourselves and prepared our followers that this is going to happen.
So if you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 FM in Ponderay, community-supported radio for North Idaho. And this morning we're talking with Jeff Thompson from the Panhandle Avalanche Center about avalanches. And, of course, with the events of the last 6 to 10 hours, we've had a nice dumping of new snow. A lot of people are excited about that, want to go out and play in it, but we want them to play safely. So, Jeff, tell us a little bit more about that. What should they look for today?
Okay, so, you know, like we said, there is a new load out there on the snowpack, and even though it makes conditions a lot more dangerous, we still love the snow. We want it, you know, bring it on. You know, we're ready for it. But with that said, you really do need to recreate safely. Today's not the day to go out and exercise in the backcountry. You know, today's a good day to go to your local ski area where they take control of the hazard and enjoy some fresh powder there. Let's see what this system does when it's all said and done and how the old layers react to this new load. You know, that's all part of the backcountry game is making good decisions. And part of that decision making is looking at the snowpack and deciding on, is today the day to go ski this line?
And for people who are new to the area, when we think of backcountry, we think of avalanche hazards, we tend to think of the films where they show massive slabs sliding down a hillside in a climax event. But many smaller, more discrete events can be extremely dangerous.
Correct. And, you know, we like to say that, you know, small slides kill. You know, there's a lot of times where you're looking at a slope and there's not an obvious avalanche path or there's not trees that are broken that give you clues that, oh, this slides. It might just be a road bank, or it might just be a small slope that you want to ski up or sled down, or it could be a roof that wants to slide. You know, but so those are harder to identify. But if it's steep enough, and we like to think of 30 degrees as kind of that trigger point, once you get above 30 degrees, any slope is really capable of sliding.
And if you're in the valley bottom on, as you mentioned, a road bank or a trail, you're susceptible.
Correct. Yep.
Well, I'm an example of someone who's relatively new to winter sports in Idaho area with the steep slopes. And I got to tell you, I just figured there was a government entity that would keep me informed of whether I should watch out for avalanches or not. And you're telling me that before 1993, we were all out there and nobody, not even the Forest Service, sent out a warning. Until you guys came along, we were kind of on our own.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you know, my guess is that back in, you know, the early 90s and in the 80s, that there was a group of recreationalists that somehow stayed in touch with each other. And I'm sure that there was a way for them to communicate with each other. But for it to be formalized, you know, the way it is today, certainly not back then.
So if somebody wants to make sure they get an alert, is there a way to sign up? Do you send out emails or post to Facebook these days? That's popular.
Yes, Facebook is one of our biggest social media outlets. Schweitzer Ski Patrol, Tom Eddy up there, who's their snow safety director, has been great. Almost every morning is posting the weather, the snow conditions. He's already posted 3 or 4 times this morning. We've been talking to see about, you know, what this new snow is doing at the ski area, because that's going to directly affect what we're forecasting for in the backcountry. So they've been very, you know, really helpful. That's been a great outlet for us. Facebook, Instagram, and of course our website.
So let's talk a little more personally. How did you get involved in this kind of work?
Well, I actually grew up in just south of Philadelphia, so not really an area of avalanches. And my dad always told me, hey, you got to get a good job if you really want to go skiing all the time. I had a passion for skiing at a young age. And then I decided, well, why don't I just work in the ski industry instead? So I moved to Colorado and went to Colorado Mountain College and found myself working as a ski patroller and worked my way up to being snow safety director at a ski resort called Beaver Creek in Colorado. So spent more than a decade there, kind of doing what Tom does at Schweitzer, you know, being the snow safety director, making it safe for skiers, and then started teaching for the local college there, Colorado Mountain College. And after 20 years in Colorado, I decided I wanted a change of scenery, and that's what brought me up here to North Idaho.
How did you pick Sandpoint?
Good question. A year ago today, I didn't even know Sandpoint existed. I'd heard of Schweitzer. Tom and I actually worked together about 20 years ago back in Colorado as ski patrollers. And we crossed paths about 2 years ago up in Banff. And he kind of put a plug into my brain about it. And so I kind of last year about this time got on the internet and looked it up and thought, wow, what an awesome place. Came and visited, had such a warm welcome, loved the area. So we decided that this was the place for us.
And so that was about the same time that the Panhandle Avalanche Center was looking at building an executive director position, isn't it?
Correct. It is. And so I had the opportunity to meet with Kevin last March when I was here, you know, just chit-chatting about snow. And so we had actually already committed to move up here. And one thing led to another, and just kind of felt like things were falling into place. This job presented itself, and here I am.
So what do you do in the summer?
Good question. You know, historically, I've been working for the U.S. Forest Service as a trails and wilderness specialist, running trail crews. And so that's really what I've been doing in the summers. But, you know, we're pretty new to the area. Not really sure what we're going to do this summer.
Yeah.
Well, do you think the Forest Service would ever create a position like this, or do you think you guys have it covered? It just seems like such an important area for people to know about, and I'm still amazed that you guys are covering it and you're the only ones out there.
The Forest Service is pretty involved with this.
Correct. Yes, yeah. The Forest Service is probably our biggest supporter. You know, they provide a level of stability. You know, give us an office. They have an infrastructure and resources that they offer to us. You know, our grants and agreements, a lot are through the Forest Service. My office is at the Forest Service building. A lot of our funding does come through our 501c3. We seek funding from donors, but Forest Service does contribute quite a bit.
And how does that work out? You mentioned the Forest Service, but what are some of the other funders? How do you make it all work financially?
You know, my job is paid for by a grant. So that's where my funding is coming from. And then the rest of it is really coming from our friends of the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center. It's through fundraising efforts.
And that's a statewide organization?
It's based here in Sandpoint. You know, all of our board members live here in Sandpoint and are backcountry skiers and, are, you know, very connected with the community and just are very passionate about what we do and backcountry skiing, and I think that's what attracted them initially to start the group.
So tell us a little bit about some of the board of directors. Who's on it that we might know?
Well, I'm sure most of you know Scott Ruhlander. He's our president, and you know, local photographer, awesome photographer. And Scott has been just amazing to work with so far. You know, we've gone backcountry skiing together and kind of telling me the ropes. So Scott Ruhlander is our president, and then we have Gary Quinn, which most of you probably know. He's been a longtime local here for 30 years. And Tom Eddy, who I've mentioned already, works at Schweitzer. Matt Gillis, who's a local skier. And, of course, Kevin Davis.
You've mentioned support from the public. Do you have memberships? Can people join?
Yes. If you go to our website, idahopanhandleavalanche.org, there is a fundraising tab. So you can get on there and you can make donations through our website to Friends of Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center.
Jeff, how big is the group? How many folks are working with you volunteering? Are there more paid staff beyond you?
Yes, I'm the only full-time paid staff. And then we've got Kevin and Eric Morgan, who are both Forest Service employees that work out of Sandpoint here. And then we have two forecasters that help us forecast out of the Coeur d'Alene area. So typically, the three of us are taking care of the northern part of the panhandle, and then we have two forecasters that help us kind of out of the Coeur d'Alene area. So we take all that information that they provide us, and we kind of mush it all into one and come up with a forecast for the whole area.
And do you take tips if somebody's in the backcountry and they see something that doesn't look quite right that may be worth noting and call it in? How do you use that?
We love observations like that. And you can submit those observations through the website also. But, yeah, I mean, we all know how big the panhandle is, millions of acres. And so we're forecasting for a huge area. And like I just said, there's 3 to 5 of us that are doing it.
And highly variable conditions. I know last week during the snowstorm, we had about 4 or 5 inches at our place, and a friend living up the Clark Fork Valley had about 18. So,
yeah.
Microclimates.
Very much so. We had a storm about 2 weeks ago that put almost 30 inches at Lookout Pass, and we got just a dusting here in town. So getting back to the observations, we love getting observations, even if it's pictures of things that you see or any sort of instability in the snowpack that you're coming across in the panhandle. We love to see that sort of stuff. It really helps us with forecasting.
Well, pictures sound like a good way to communicate what's going on. And I was just about to ask you, what are we looking for if we're wanting to help you out? Are we looking for an actual avalanche, or just what kind of things are you hoping people report to you?
You know, a little bit of everything. If you go out snowmobiling and you have a great day ripping around and you don't see any stability, and we know that you are up in the Trestle Creek Basin, you know, just that information helps us out a lot. Obviously, if there's some sort of instability, you see avalanches or you cause an avalanche, I mean, that's very valuable information to us. And we actually like to go investigate those sorts of things. If people are involved, go look at the avalanche and what caused this and how widespread is this? Do we have to worry about this on other slopes, or is this just kind of isolated to this area?
People really serious about going to the backcountry are sometimes, maybe not as often as we'd like, well-trained, and they'll be performing some of the same or similar pit tests to check for the stability of layers. And so they might have some really good observations that would help verify or shed new light on things.
Yes. Yep. Very much so. And so, the forecast is probably our primary, that's really what the Avalanche Center is all about. But secondary is avalanche education. And so we try to educate our users the best that we can to have these skills to give us good information. Not only do we want to provide a good forecast for folks to be able to make good decisions, but we want to put them in the best situation possible to make good decisions on their own.
How do you work with some of the user groups like the Panhandle Nordic Club or the Sandpoint Snowmobile Riders?
Sandpoint Snowmobile Riders, gentleman named Dan, he's looking to join our friends group and potentially be a board member. But the snowmobile group and the snow bike group up here is pretty big. They are probably the biggest user out there. And, snowmobiles and snow bikes can really cover a lot of terrain. So that's a group that we really try to tap into to have a relationship with so that we can get information from them, but that we're also providing them great information on what we see out there.
You're not the only ones who are out there helping and watching for avalanches. I understand you've got some animal helpers.
I do. I own Annie. She's an avalanche rescue dog, and she's a certified avalanche rescue dog, and she actually works up at Schweitzer. Part-time, I ski patrol up at Schweitzer, and so she's a resource for them. And so on a day like today, she is on standby and ready to go in case there'd be any sort of incident.
Is she your dog?
She is, yeah.
So just a little bit further on the dogs. We're not going to go too far down this road, but is it typical for an avalanche rescue organization to have a dog, or is it special that you've got one?
Most big ski areas in the West have dogs, and for the most part, they're used for areas outside of the ski area. The ski patrols are a professional group of rescuers, and so it's another tool for them to have. Like I said earlier, the ski areas really take control of the avalanche problem at the ski areas. So that's not really our primary focus with the dogs. The dogs are really there for the backcountry. If something were to happen at a ski area or something were to happen adjacent, that they're there to get there as quick as possible and help with the rescue.
For clarity here, Annie's not helping you do the forecasting. She's helping you with your other job at Schweitzer?
Correct. Yeah. So she doesn't help much with the forecast. It'd be great if she did. We could use the help. But she's kind of used as, if something goes wrong, there's an avalanche and somebody's buried. you know, we have other tools to find people buried in the snow, such as, you know, avalanche beacons and reco tabs. But if somebody gets caught in a avalanche and they don't have any of the, you know, rescue gear, a dog still in this day of technology is the best way to find them.
Some things are just really hard to replace, including the sensitivity of a dog's nose.
It's funny. I keep thinking she's going to be put out of work with like some app someday, but it hasn't happened yet.
We'll talk about more of the technical aspects of avalanche predicting, but for the moment, we're going to take a music break. So for those of you who are just joining us, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. If you haven't caught the entire show this morning, you can listen later via our podcast. And just remember, it's KRFY.org. Let's pick an appropriate song for this morning. Sean Colvin, Shotgun Down the Avalanche. And that was Sean Colvin with Shotgun Down the Avalanche, an appropriate song for this morning. We've got a little bit of weather that might lead toward avalanches. And here we are at the Tuesday morning KRFY morning show with myself, Julie Calamine, and Phil Huff. And we're joined by Jeff Thompson. He's the executive director of Panhandle Avalanche Center.
And just to be clear, we didn't know this morning would be such epic snow when we scheduled Jeff as a guest. It's just turned out that way. And probably a very timely subject to be bringing up, as avalanche awareness and safety is a big topic when we hit winter, and especially today. And thank you for joining us today, Jeff. We know it's a busy day for you.
Yeah, of course. It's great to be here. And like you said, it actually is a good day to get the message out because of the conditions that are out there.
So I want to look a little bit more organizationally. It's a really interesting job that you have. You're working for a 501c3 out of the Forest Service building with a program that started from a Forest Service program. But you've mentioned several times Schweitzer. You obviously work closely with them.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more about how you work with Schweitzer and how all three of you work together to create this awareness and safety culture.
Okay. You know, Schweitzer, you know, relative to our forecast area is a smaller area. It's a big ski area, but relative to what we're doing, it's a small area. But, you know, I have the ability to be up there typically Sunday, Mondays, and Tuesdays, which really help me just know, what is the snow doing? What is the wind doing? You know, where are we getting loading? Because all of that information, even though it's at the ski area, is going to be pretty relevant to the rest of the Selkirk Range. So having that information really plays into our forecasts that come out Friday.
And you're telling us you get to call that work.
Somebody's got to do it.
And not to focus too much on Schweitzer, but is Schweitzer a very avalanche-prone area? Is that an area where, you know, we all need to be really worried, or is that well taken care of by everyone else? And
good question. As far as being worried, I would not be worried. Those guys are professionals and they take care of the hazard. But as far as, you know, terrain capable of producing avalanches, there's plenty of it. I mean, there's a lot of great steep skiing. And like I said earlier, 30 degrees is kind of that cutoff. So if you think about your favorite blue run at most ski areas, you're starting to get into avalanche terrain. I mean, most of us are going to rip down the corduroy and not think about avalanches on a blue run. But to us, we're thinking this is steep enough to slide.
And it can't happen. They manage the risk, but it still can happen. So if you're a skier and you're down on that blue run and the slide starts, what do you do?
Well, the first thing is to probably think of self-preservation. You know, let's take that scenario and potentially put it into the backcountry. The best thing is to only have one person in a dangerous situation at a time. You know, if multiple people are in the group are in the danger zone, then that's less rescuers you have. If one person in a group of six gets buried and you have five people able to look for them, as opposed to five people buried and one person looking for them, it's a completely different situation. So the first thing is to really just expose one person at a time. And then from there, you know, you want to have your avalanche rescue equipment. You know, the three basics are an avalanche beacon, a shovel, and a probe, and the ability to use them, know how to use them.
And the conditions they're looking for in the backcountry as they go out, what are some of the terrain conditions or weather or snow conditions that should particularly be alerted to?
Terrain conditions, and this is the easiest to find, is that 30 degrees. Anybody can put an app on their phone and see what slopes, you know, how steep a slope is. That's a cut and dry thing. So if you're above 30 degrees and you're on a slope, you're in avalanche terrain. If you're not, you know, then you're not in avalanche terrain if you're below 30 degrees. So that's the easiest. As far as the snow goes, now we're getting a little more complicated. Things to really look for are, you know, the things that we're looking at today, a bunch of new snow and then a lot of wind. We had gusts up to 60 miles an hour off the top of Schweitzer last night. That wind is taking that new snow and it's moving it somewhere. So even though it might be snowing an inch an hour, you know, off the backside of a cornice, it might be depositing 6 inches an hour just because of the wind transport. So areas of wind load and areas of new snow are a big complaint in the backcountry.
And is there, tell us about the seasonality to all of this. How early in the season, how late in the season should we look? Is it more risky in the beginning of the snow year or at the end?
That's a great question. And look for my article to come out in the Sandpoint Reader next week because I really talk about those topics in more detail. But early season, there's different hazards. You know, we're not, our avalanche brains maybe haven't been turned on quite yet, so maybe we're not making the best decisions. It's a shallow snowpack, so if you were to take a ride in an avalanche, you're probably going to be bouncing off of rocks and stumps and logs and everything else, where, you know, later season, there's a deeper, bigger snowpack. It might be a cleaner ride if you were to get yourself into trouble.
And I've got a question about the snow itself. Coming from Minnesota, where it seems like the snow is a little bit drier, does this wet snow lend itself to more avalanches or not really? It seems wetter here, our snow.
That's a great question. If we had 8 hours, I could really break that down. No, and actually, that's one of the biggest things I've been dealing with coming from Colorado. You know, I come from a very tender snowpack in Colorado, very light, shallow snowpack. And so coming here where we have a lot of snow and it's heavier and we could potentially put rain into this snowpack, which I'm not used to seeing. All those are factors that we at the Avalanche Center try to sift through to say, how is the snowpack going to react to this that's going on right now?
We do see a lot of rain on snow. And to sum it up in a word, I'd say it's not good.
I would agree with that.
And do you have technology that helps you out with that? Is there modeling, computer modeling that helps you understand? Or is it all up to you guys' brains?
Both. You know, we do have computer modeling and there's stuff that we can look at in the office that really helps us with decision making. But really the best way is to get out in it, dig most of the time to the ground and really analyze each layer.
So we can't do a full avalanche training here, but that is part of the services that the Panhandle Avalanche Center provides.
Correct. Yep. So, you know, the center forecast is our primary focus, but educating the public is secondary. And, you know, a couple opportunities we have here every other Tuesday at the Sandpoint Ranger District from 6 to 8 p.m., we are offering an avalanche awareness class. And this, it's kind of a neat opportunity because each one, we're discussing a different topic. So it's not your basic avalanche awareness class that some of you have been through where you talk about the same topics. We're talking about what's happening early season, what's happening in a rescue. And so tonight, we're hosting one 6 to 8, and tonight is talking about the advisory, how to interpret the advisory. We put out all this information. How can you disseminate that and use it to your advantage?
Where's that happening? Tell us about the location, et cetera, if people wanted to go there.
Sandpoint Ranger District over on Ontario Street from 6 to 8 p.m. And we asked you to park in the back and you'll see the bright lights and just come on in.
Is there listing or posting of the upcoming topics? Do you put that up on a website?
Yes, we do. We have that on our website, idahopanhandleavalanche.org. And all the education opportunities that we are involved with are on there, including Seoul here locally and Selkirk Powder are both offering kind of that next level of training, Avalanche Level 1 and Avalanche Level 2. And those are multi-day trainings that those guys are putting on. And, you know, we certainly help with those, but they're kind of the key contact
for them. So tell us a little bit about what those trainings cover and why someone should take them.
Okay. So the avalanche awareness is really just a quick intro into, you know, this is the backcountry. You're going out to recreate there. Here's some things to think about, you know, talking about, you know, a lot of the stuff we've talked about today, you know, slopes and wind loading and the basics. And so then after that, you know, we kind of say, spend a year or so into the backcountry, apply that knowledge, and then take a level one course. A level one course is going to break it down even more. It's going to be, you know, up to 8 hours of, you know, inside classroom training. And then you go to 3 or 4 days out in the field. And we do everything from sit in the snow pit with our students and analyze each layer with them to showing them how to conduct a avalanche rescue of their own. And then, you know, if you really want to progress, it can go on forever. There's a level two, which recreationalists, that's kind of the top level for recreationalists. And then we got level threes, and we got National Avalanche School and International Snow Science Workshops. So depending on how much, how far you want to go with it, there's a lot of opportunities for AVI education.
How can folks support the Panhandle Avalanche Center?
The best way to support us is through our website. We have a link to be able to donate for us. And like we said earlier in the show, we really operate on a shoestring budget here, and we rely on donors and monies from donors. And that really is what keeps us afloat. So, IdahoPanhandleAvalanche.org. And on our homepage right there is a tab to help donate.
And what about volunteers? Are you looking for volunteers, or is it more specialized than just the usual typical person could work on?
You know, we always like to use volunteers if we can. I mean, if somebody has especially a special skill set that they can help us with, but anybody, I mean, we're such a growing avalanche center that it'd be pretty hard for us to turn down any sort of help. So if anybody wants to help volunteer, I mean, we've always got stuff that we can.
Nonprofits always need someone to stuff envelopes, help update a website, put on a fundraising event.
Exactly. So, yep. Yep.
Do you have any fun fundraising events coming up?
Not really. We really haven't scheduled anything yet. We've been talking about like a spring fundraiser. We've done that historically in the past. I think it was at Poor Authority where we have raffle gifts. And so last board meeting, we talked about that. But look forward to that probably in the spring.
Now, I know Julie wants to circle back and talk more about Annie the rescue dog. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners do, too. And you're bursting, Julie. What are your questions?
I know. I can't wait. I was wanting to hear more about dogs, so now I'm going to ask you a little bit more. And again, I know it's not for the predicting, but dogs are important for everyone's life. So let's talk about Annie and what happens with the rescue dog, with the AVI dog. In fact, I was riding up the chairlift a few days ago at Schweitzer with some patrols, and they were talking about their AVI puppies and how they were going to work on training them. So it's probably someone you know.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
So Annie, she's my third avalanche rescue dog, and she just turned 2 years old, and she is just a little avalanche rocket. I mean, she is just awesome. She's learned the job, and it's just, you know, so excited to be working at Schweitzer. And really her role is to use her nose to find somebody that's buried underneath the snow.
And so does she wear mini skis or snowshoes?
Nope, she's got to run it out. You know, it's hard for the dogs to run up and down the ski areas. You know, it's really a lot of wear and tear on them. So you'll probably see me, having her on my shoulders or putting her in a toboggan or cruising around in a snowmobile. You know, we try to limit how much they really have to run. But, you know, in the event of an avalanche, that's when we're going
to. Are you able to get her into the backcountry? Does she follow your tracks?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, I've always liked using yellow labs for this kind of work because they've been bred to deal with cold weather. They've got a lot of blood in their paws, so they don't really get the balls of snow on their feet. You know, they're capable of being in the backcountry for long periods of time and being able to.
So you're telling me they're not St. Bernards and they don't have a cask of whiskey for me when you finally dig me out?
I'm sorry.
I think there's a good question about what are the best breeds aside from the Labradors that you mentioned, yellow labs.
You know, to me, you know, I think any breed that kind of has retriever at the in the name, you know, a dog that likes to find things is going to be the easiest to train. You know, it's in their mind. You know, looking for a tennis ball in the field is very similar to looking for a person buried under the snow. And you want that enthusiasm to be the same. And so basically their training is transitioning from just that, you know.
And what kind of special training do you have them go through?
You know, she got certified last year and her final test was we found an area that was about 100 meters by 100 meters large, and, you know, an avalanche had happened there. And so actually went in and buried three people in that area, 6 feet down. And then we had 20 minutes to come in and find where these three people were buried.
Is it a national training program? Is there some sort of protocol set up?
For avalanche rescue dogs, it's not really national. It's more state run. So in Colorado, where we came from, it's a group called Colorado Rapid Avalanche Dogs, CRAD, and that's the certifying agency in Colorado. I know in Washington State, just adjacent to here, it's called BARC. Backcountry Avalanche Rescue Canines.
That's a great name.
I know dog training is kind of a long-term thing. How old is your Annie before she's really ready to get going?
Most avalanche dogs are getting certified around 2 to 3 years old.
And what's their life? How long is their life as an AVI dog?
We do everything we can to preserve them because it is a hard job for a dog to do. Most avalanche dogs are 8 to 9 years old is about when they retire. My last dog, Dixie, she made it to 11 years old.
That's a long career.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, dogs, they're important in every aspect of life. I'm happy to hear that they're helping out with the avalanches. It's cool.
Well, we're running a little short on time, but we do have enough time for a couple of anecdotes if you have anything interesting you'd like to share in this line of work and play.
High points, low points.
Well, I'd say a high point for me right now is just being here. And, since we've been talking about Annie, that's fresh on my mind. If you do see us up at Schweitzer, feel free to come up and talk to us. Come up and meet Annie. It's great for her to meet everybody up there, socialize. And I challenge people to come to our Beacon Sundays that Schweitzer Ski Patrol puts on and see who's faster, you with a beacon or an avalanche rescue dog.
Yeah, I'll bet she's great for outreach with the kids.
Yeah, she really is. I mean, that's the other thing about avalanche rescue dogs. It's such a great avenue to talk about avalanche awareness.
Yeah, it sounds like, well, what a great thing that you're doing and what a great way to connect with people and keep them safe on the slopes.
I want to thank you for coming into the station today, especially on one that's so busy, and we're going to let you go here pretty soon so you can get out and finish up forecasting and warning and helping out people. But thank you, Jeff.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it's been great to be here. And like I said, keep it safe today. And let's see what this storm does. I'm going to be up digging behind Schweitzer here in about 2 hours and hopefully have some more information for you soon.
So if you've just tuned in, we've been talking this morning with Jeff Thompson, the executive director of the Panhandle Avalanche Center, all about snow, avalanches, avalanche forecasting, and safety. As always, if you missed some of this and you'd like to hear the entire show, you can check out a podcast on our website. That's www.krfy.org. Podcast should be up in the next day or so. This is listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. We're broadcasting from 88.5 KRFY in Ponderay.
That's right. And we've definitely got potential avalanche weather. We know about that. But let's go to a song break, and we'll be back with some upcoming events, etc. Here's Fleetwood Mac with Landslide. And if you're just joining us, this is 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported radio for North Idaho. This is the Tuesday morning show with Julie Calamine, and Phil Huff. And we've just concluded an interview with Jeff Thompson. He is the new executive director of the Panhandle Avalanche Center. What an appropriate topic for today, because we do have a winter storm warning and an avalanche warning out there.
I think the main takeaway from Jeff's interview, and this is important, that today's not the day to go into the backcountry. Let the snow settle in, listen to the avalanche forecast, enjoy a hot cup of cocoa. If you need to get out and recreate, go to one of the ski areas where they manage the avalanche risk, and follow the Panhandle Avalanche Center for forecasts and updates.
Yes, or maybe a little Nordic skiing down at Farragut. We can stay on the flat areas and enjoy the snow.
We had a great conversation about winter and winter events, and speaking of winter and winter events, coming up in January, there's a benefit fundraiser for KRFY Community Radio and Team Autism 24/7. Viggo Mortensen will be hosting a local showing of Captain Fantastic, An Evening with Viggo Mortensen. He'll have a question and answer session following the film. That's January 13th, Friday night, and January 14th, Saturday night at the Panada Theater. Tickets are available at Eichardt's Pubs, Evan Brothers, and at KRFY, and at the Panada box office, though I understand the ones at the Panada box office are going very quickly.
Ah, well, it's a great event. I think everyone should plan on it. We don't have many opportunities to meet a movie star, right, Phil?
Not many.
No. Well, upcoming on the morning show this week, we're going to have tomorrow, that will be the 21st, we will be hearing Susie Perez and Chris Bessler for the Wednesday edition, and their guests this week will be Friends of Sunnyside Cedar Grove. That's Ali Hakala, Rich Del Carlo, and Jeff Pennick. For those of you who don't know about that, it's a grove of trees that is possibly going to be harvested, and they'd like to have something else happen with that. And then Thursday, on December 22nd, tune in again for the morning show, and the hosts would be Jack Peterson and Jim Healy, and they're going to be joined by Becky Revac, and she is part of the cast from the current Panada production of Christmas Carol. And
next week, no rest for the morning show crew. We're back in broadcasting between Christmas and New Year's Day, right, Julie?
Well, that's right. And so next Tuesday, we're going to be hearing from folks at the 7B. That's an organization who's interested in land use planning, or just raising awareness about land use planning. And looks like we'll also have a guest from Schweitzer telling us about opportunities up at the ski hill. So that should be a great show. Please tune in. Don't miss it.
Lots of stuff going on this week and weekend, aside from the obvious. Merry Christmas, everybody. But the fun and festivities continue in Sandpoint tonight with Art on the Go at the Idaho Poor Authority at 203 Cedar Street. IPA hosts Art on the Go with Jules from 4 to 7 p.m. So join Julie Ellis for a few hours of crafting from recycled materials. And as Jeff Thompson mentioned earlier, we have the Avalanche Awareness Program tonight at the Sandpoint Ranger District from 6 to 8 p.m. And for those just tuning in, that's every other Tuesday. They'll be covering a different topic. It sounds like a great wintertime education and fun thing to go to. Clark Fork Stories and More tomorrow night at the Clark Fork Library at 10:30 a.m. Excuse me, tomorrow morning at the Clark Fork Library at 10:30 a.m. Kids 3 to 8 are invited to enjoy stories, craft, prizes, and snacks. Does that sound like fun, Julie?
That does sound fun. There's a lot going on. Well, Christmas is almost here.
And speaking of avalanche awareness, it is the season for the events. Tomorrow night, there's also a free avalanche awareness seminar. This one's put on by the Selkirk Powder Company and Alpine Ski Shop. They team up to host the seminar on avalanche awareness. Join Ken Barrett, chief guide of Selkirk Powder, and Kevin Davis, the avalanche director, as they discuss avalanche awareness and snow pit analysis. Program begins at 5 p.m. in the Alpine Shop at 213 Church Street and lasts about an hour, free and open to the public.
What else is going on, Phil?
Well, of course, we move into the weekend, and a lot of people have friends in town, friends and family visiting, or they'll be going away for Christmas. There is live music at Always at a number of venues. On Thursday night, IPA has live music. Doug Bond and Marty Perrin from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. At the Winery from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., local favorite Chuck Mills will be playing his rock and slide guitar with along with a variety of other instruments. Bright Moments will be at Eichhardt's Pub on Friday night. So it's just a full slate of music. At the Beer Hall on Friday night is Ron Green. It's just hard to choose.
It really is. It's a lot going on.
And then Santa Visits. Beginning Friday night, Santa visits Schweitzer. Santa hits the slopes at Schweitzer Mountain. So if you haven't gotten your requests into him, I guess you can track him down and try to sit on his lap on the ski lift on the way up and tell him what you want for Christmas.
I saw a picture with Mrs. Claus up there too, so I think you'd be able to see the couple up there.
On Thursday and Friday night, a local production of Christmas Carol, the musical, a locally written, produced, and performed musical, Christmas Carol, premieres at the Panada Theater. That's at 300 North First Avenue with performances at 8 p.m. The play is a current-day tale based on the Dickens classic and features a talented cast of more than 30 actors, dancers, and singers. While many cast members have years of theater and musical experience, there are also more than 10 actors under the age of 18, so this should be a family favorite. For more on this, check out the Panada Theater. This should be a really interesting show. I listened to the interview of the folks behind this on the morning show last week, and I got really excited myself. I'm going to hope to be able to check it out.
Sounds good. And for those of you who are still feeling charitable this year, you might consider a year-end donation to KRFY, our own station. As you know, we had an on-air giving appeal last week and week before, actually, and we're still hoping we might see a few donations come in to help us with our station and help us into the new year.
There's one other really important event for you guys out there. Friday is Men's Shopping Night. Enjoy late-night shopping and a complimentary gift wrapping during Men's Shopping Night held in downtown Sandpoint. Now, the only thing I have to say about that is, why is it so early? It should be Saturday night.
And is there beer drinking?
There is. $3 drafts at the Ponderay Winery. So go out and enjoy Men's Shopping Night. get that last minute gift, because we all know you, man, got stuff for your honey before that.
That's right. Well, we're just about out of time for the morning show. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. It was a great interview with Jeff Thompson. Be safe out there in the snow on the roads and on the slopes. Don't get avalanched and don't go off the road. We're going to end our morning show with a really good song that'll make us think about that. Judy Collins with the Blizzard Reprise. So thank you all for joining us this week.